HealthMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike Royson. We have a wonderful guest, someone we've had on before, who talks and knows what he's talking about when he talks about bariatric surgery, which is surgery on obesity. And we've known that, and he was one of these people who did a lot of the work on bariatric surgery reversing type 2 diabetes. We're going to talk to him about that in a second, as well as talk to him about V-block, a new procedure that is a vagus nerve procedure that may also help with obesity, and we're going to find out what it does and what the option is. Dr. Brethwith is chair of surgery at Winthrop University Hospital, as well as head of the Division of Minimally Invasive and Bariatric Surgery and director of the Bariatric Surgery Program. Dr. Brethwith, thanks very much for coming on. First, where is Winthrop University Hospital?
Okay, Dr. Royson, thank you very much for having me. Winthrop University Hospital is located in Nassau County on Long Island, New York.
And people can come to you, since that's a referral center for bariatric surgery, people can come to you from all over the East, obviously, but from all over New York State and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and they probably do.
Absolutely, and in fact, we do have people who come to us from a variety of places. People come from Florida, out of town, and also from local areas, Brooklyn, the rest of Long Island, upstate New York, New Jersey, et cetera. We are a center of excellence with respect to bariatric surgery, and this is a designation given by the American Society for Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery and the American College of Surgeons. So one cannot simply say, I'm a center of excellence. They have to give you that designation.
And that designation is earned, obviously. Let's talk about bariatric surgery. What is bariatric surgery, and what are the common procedures that people do for it, and why do they do it?
So bariatric surgery is a surgery dedicated to helping someone lose weight. And the initial focus was on weight loss. However, we have seen that it reverses so many of the problems related to obesity that the name has been changed somewhat, and we focus on what's called metabolic surgery, because what we do, the surgeries that we do for weight loss affect so many metabolic conditions, particularly, as you have mentioned in the past, type 2 diabetes. So people in the past who, let's say, were 100 pounds overweight would come in to have surgery, and there are different types of surgery, but most of them involve limiting the intake or reducing the size of the stomach in some form or fashion. So one of these that was very popular at one point was the gastric banding, or some people use the term lap band, which was really a proprietary term. But that was putting a band around the upper part of the stomach to create a small pouch so that people would feel full sooner. Another type of procedure is the gastric bypass, and this has been around probably longer than any of the other procedures. This is a procedure where a small pouch is created in the upper part of the stomach, and this is separated from the lower part, and then the intestines are brought up and attached to this. And this procedure, the person feels full sooner because of a smaller capacity, but additionally because you're bypassing the upper GI tract, the upper part of the stomach, the duodenum, that reduces the intake or absorption of certain, obviously, high-calorie type foods, and may also, as a side effect, may have limited absorption of some vitamins, so we have to pay attention to that. But with reduced caloric intake, the person loses weight because they're taking in less food, and whatever they take in, a lot of it is not getting absorbed. A third procedure that has evolved, which was part of a complicated procedure which I won't get into, is the sleeve gastrectomy, and that was part of a procedure called the duodenal switch. In the sleeve gastrectomy, the stomach is made narrow, and it's made into the shape of a banana. The lesser curvature, if someone is familiar with the stomach, the part of the stomach that distends, the upper part and the part to the patient's left, is removed. And that part actually secretes a hormone, releases a hormone called ghrelin, which we often colloquially refer to it as the hunger hormone. That hormone makes people feel hungry all the time. And in fact, a lot of our patients tell us they're struggling with obesity, that they eat a meal and half an hour later they feel as if they'd never eaten. And that hormone is responsible for that. And a number of studies have shown that when you do certain procedures, either the gastric bypass or the sleeve gastrectomy, you see hormonal levels go down. These are studies done in animals, and rats, and also in human beings. So those three are the major procedures. And what has ultimately evolved is the V-block, V-B-L-O-C, procedure. And it is a procedure where we block the vagal stimulation or vagal sensation, and hence the word, the block part of it. The difference of V-block compared to the other procedures is that we're not altering the anatomy. Those other procedures,
Tell me about the vagus or the V-block again. So when I was growing up, we at one point they would cut the vagus, a vagotomy. What does V-block involve? What does it involve? Putting a stimulator on? Does it involve cutting it? What happens now?
So we don't cut the nerve, and the nerve we have cut for conditions of ulcers, etc. But we know that the vagus nerve transmits signals to and from the brain. What we've found out recently in research is that 20% of the signals really are going from the brain to the organs. 80% are really going the other way, telling the brain that you're hungry, that you need to eat. And so by blocking that signal of hunger, we can cut down on the sensation or the desire to eat.
So how do you block
without
that?
Actually cutting the nerve?
How do you block the signal without cutting the nerve?
Okay, so we, in the procedure, and this is a minimally invasive procedure, a laparoscopic procedure, we make tiny incisions, put a camera into the abdomen, we then pass the wires with the leads in, has little clips on them, and these are clipped onto the nerve. The wires are then brought out and brought under the skin to the patient's left side, just at the edge of the rib cage, and a little a charger or device similar to a pacemaker, for that matter, is put under the skin, and the leads are attached to this. This device can be wirelessly manipulated or modulated to stimulate the blockade or increase or decrease it at any point in time afterward. And so the patient has the ability, without changing the anatomy as we do in the other procedures, to block that sensation.
Now, tell me, who is the best for each of these procedures? So the common procedures now, the sleeve gastrectomy, I assume, is still done, as is the larger Roux-en-Y or the gastric bypass. And now the V-block. So who is best for each of these?
Well, that's a very good question. And we try to tailor the procedures to the individual. The vast majority of people can have any of the procedures they want. However, the FDA, in authorizing V-block as a procedure, has said it's for people who have a body mass index of between 35 and 45. That being said, the patient who is morbidly obese, who has diabetes, in the past we've tended to have that recommend a gastric bypass for that patient because that procedure alters the impact of the diabetes even before.
We're going to come right back in 30 seconds on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We've been talking with Dr. Colin Bratwaith, who is Chief of Minimally Invasive Surgery, Bariatric Surgery, as well as Chief of Surgery at Winthrop University.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever. The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
More than half of all Americans, including teenagers, don't drink enough water.
Waterlogged is a great app that will help you build good water habits
with customized tracking and personalized reminders.
Download Waterlogged from the iTunes App Store and start using your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad to track and improve your water intake. Set your goals, record your consumption, and get Waterlogged's exclusive smart reminders to alert you when you're behind pace to meet your daily goal and when it's time to hydrate. Optimal water intake is a goal that you can successfully achieve, and it'll make a measurable impact on how you feel and your overall health,
because every system in your body depends on water.
People who use reminders are 5 times more likely to reach their goals consistently, so let Waterlogged help you stay on track. Waterlogged is compatible with Apple Health and Fitbit, so you can log your water with the best app in the App Store and get a full picture of your health in your favorite app.
Download Waterlogged from the App Store or visit waterlogged.com.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the show that helps you take control of your health so you can live at the highest level possible. And we're talking this half hour with Dr. Colin Brackwith, who is Chair of the Department of Surgery at Winthrop University, as well as Chair of the Bariatrics and Minimally Invasive Surgery Departments. And you can find out more about this procedure and about anything we talk to him about at WinthropBariatrics.com. Winthrop is in Nassau on the island on Long Island, and people come from all over there for bariatric surgery because of Dr. Brackwith. WinthropBariatrics.com. Dr. Brackwith, before we were slowed in our progress on finding out about who should get what procedure, because we were interrupted by the messages, you were telling us that we classically did a gastric bypass for type 2 diabetes, and that last year the FDA had approved VBAC for people with a body mass index, and they can go to BMI, if you will, go to BMI and Google, and there are a number of places you can find out your BMI by putting in your height and weight. And for people in the BMI range that is pretty heavy, 35 to 45, but not the heaviest you can be. So tell us more about the procedure and who's approved for the sleeve, who's approved for gastric bypass, who is traditionally approved for VBAC.
Well, the vast majority of patients, if you have a BMI over 35 and you have health-related conditions such as type 2 diabetes, sleep apnea, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, would qualify for surgery. And then the person for V-block would have to be at least 18 years of age, which I think the FDA uses for most devices or medical devices. Those are typically candidates for the various procedures. V-block, the difference is if you are a candidate for all these surgeries, but you simply do not want your anatomy altered, or if you have some other situation where you don't want that to happen, then V-block is ideal, primarily because you're not limiting the intake, you're not changing the size, you're not changing the anatomy. But yet, with the weight loss, a person can have corrections of these various health conditions.
And how common are they done? In other words, how common is the gastric sleeve? Who is the gastric sleeve still done for, or is it done routinely?
Yes, so it's interesting, but last year, 2015, was the first year on record that the sleeve gastrectomy has really outpaced all the other procedures as the number one procedure performed in the United States. Gastric bypass and gastric banding are also done. The V-block is new, is recently approved by the FDA, so we're going through the process right now of getting a CPT code assigned. And that is a code that has to be assigned to any new procedure. The sleeve went through that, other surgical procedures went through that as well. And once that's done, it makes it a little bit easier to get it through the insurance companies. We're fortunate that at our hospital, Winthrop University Hospital, as an employer, has decided to underwrite this for all its employees and their spouses. They're so confident of the impact of correcting these health conditions. And this is a big problem for all employers. If people are getting ill, then they lose time from work. As the employers set up benefit packages and benefit programs, they have to take care of the health of many of their employees, and that's a very high cost. And so Winthrop really stepped forward and said, look, this is a good thing. We want this for our all our employees.
Yeah, we did talk about how common type 2 diabetes and prediabetes were and are, since roughly 60% of it's a little over 10% actually have type 2 diabetes, and another 20% in the U.S., and in fact 50% in China and India have prediabetes. So these procedures and this problem is a worldwide one.
Certainly, it is a worldwide problem. And in fact, we've tracked the maps of the United States of the various states. And if you look at the prevalence or incidence of obesity and you look at the map for diabetes, these essentially overlap because they go hand in hand. And now with the variety of procedures that we have available, and with these as minimally invasive procedures, in other words, we're not cutting people open as we used to do in the past, the success rate has improved significantly, and we've been able to really mitigate the complications so that now the complication rates are so low, they're less than the more common procedures that people undergo, such as gallbladder surgery or orthopedic surgery or heart surgery, that they take for granted. These procedures now are way more safe than those.
Jim Graham is on the line. You can call us 844-305-7800 to ask questions of me or our guest. Jim?
Yes, doctor. Thanks for taking my call. And you just shot my question right down in flames when you mentioned that you have to be a minimally 18 years old to get a V-block. Because it's less invasive. I was going to ask you how young you would consider giving a V-block to a kid maybe that was genetically way, way overweight to control his weight. But by the time he got to be 18 years old, he wouldn't be suffering from type 2 diabetes and things like that. So I can throw that question right out. But my next question would be, how important is the aftercare after this V-block surgery? A lot of people get this minimal surgeries, and they think, well, once that heals up, they're in great shape, and they don't have to watch out. So it'll take care of it automatically.
Jim, thank you very much for your question. That's an excellent question, and in fact, we tell the patients all the time, none of the procedures out there are magical. The procedures have to be incorporated into a complete assessment of the patient, looking at lifestyle changes, increasing physical activity, making healthy food choices, and it has to be part of the whole approach to changing the patient's health. Most bariatric programs incorporate nutrition and psychological assessments and provide follow-ups and support groups for our patients, and we do the same thing. We have about 6 support groups per month in various parts of Long Island to accommodate the patient. So you're absolutely correct. Regardless of how wonderful the procedures are and how minimally invasive, we do want to support the patients afterward, and we do that.
Thank you very much for the answer, Doc.
You're
welcome. By the way, any of you can ask us questions by sending us email at udocs, udocs@gmail.com, or 844-305-7800. We have Gary Ginsberg coming up in the second hour, but I want to thank Dr. Colin Brettwith from WinthropBariatrics.com. He's chair of surgery at Winthrop University, a pioneer in the VBAC procedures, which they do commonly. Looks like it is much less invasive, doesn't disturb your anatomy for permanent, and so has some obvious advantages that many of us will try. Thank you, Dr. Brettwith. And we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, talking about other subjects.